Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, we all know John 15, 13 says, there is no greater love than to lay one's life for one's friends, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And obviously, this happens to be Memorial Day weekend. Many people think this Memorial Day weekend is this, you know, start of summertime, and we have barbecues and you know, all kinds of great things. I always think of auto racing, you know, the greatest spectacle in sports. The Indy 500 would be on today. Later on, the Coca-Cola 600. Unfortunately, you know, other sporting events happened this weekend. Forget about last night's Thunder game. That didn't really happen. But tomorrow, Memorial Day, they'll win. But anyway, you know, when we're having a good time enjoying life, we need to remember that men and women laid down their life so that we could have a good time and enjoy life. And I want to, if any of you had family members who died, you know, fighting for this country, I want to say thank you for sharing them with us. Thank you for allowing them to allow us to have a wonderful time. Because you know what? We wouldn't be having barbecues. Of course, why don't we have barbecues anyway this weekend? It's kind of been pretty bad. But you know, we wouldn't be having barbecues. We wouldn't have the start of summer. We wouldn't have freedom if it wasn't for these men and women that have died so that we could live. Amen. Let's give them a hand, even though they're not here. Like I said, Memorial Day is a time to remember, to honor the men and women of the armed forces that have given their lives in defense of our nation. The sacrifice has secured the freedoms we enjoy every day. The freedom to worship, to speak, to assemble, and to live without the fear of oppression. You know, there are some places that they can't gather in big buildings like we do. They have to be underground just in, you know, because to worship God is to break the law. There are some places that, you know, that if somebody comes in and sees them worshiping the, you know, God on a Sunday, they'll all be put to death. But praise God that we can live free. And one reason we can live free is because men and women have spilled their blood on battlefields around the world so that we can remain a free nation. And obviously, you know, not only are we, do we fight for us to remain free, we help other countries fight so they can remain free as well. You know, that's because, you know, we want to help out our friends. You know, as believers, we also gather every Sunday to remember another sacrifice, the one made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His death on the cross purchased a freedom even greater than the ones that men have purchased, the freedom from sin, shame, and eternal separation from God. We have earned our ticket. We can earn our ticket to heaven because Jesus laid down his life for us. So today, as we reflect on both kinds of freedom, natural freedom, one on the battlefields, and spiritual freedom, one on a cross, both came at an unimaginable cost. You know, they say that, we'll move on, and I'll get to that in a second. There is a phrase that echoes often this time of year, freedom isn't free. That may sound like a slogan, but it's profoundly true. Every right we exercise today has a cost, paid in blood, sweat, and sacrifices by others. Think of the soldier who leaves behind a young family, uncertain if he'll return. Think of the medic who rushes into danger to save a comrade. Think of the countless men and women who rest now beneath white crosses, never to grow old and never to return to their homes. You know, a lot of them, young men, you know, have sacrificed their life so that we can be free. And a lot of times we don't even think about it. You know, unless you happen to be a veteran or you happen to have, you know, family members that are, you know, in the armed forces, a lot of times we don't even think about, you know, we just live our daily life, not even considering that somebody shed their life. I mean, you realize that, you know, the Revolutionary War, if it wasn't for, our patriots back in 1776, which we'll celebrate, you know, a lot of times we celebrate July 4th, but we don't think about men and women who have died since then. trying to keep our freedom. You know, but it is important to remember. In the same way, our spiritual freedom was not free. It was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We know Isaiah 53:5 describes it more detail. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus willingly gave his life, not because we deserved it, but because he loved us. The Son of God became the sacrificial lamb, and just like those heroes we honor today, he died so that we might live. You realize that Jesus didn't have any sin. You know, when he died on the cross, he died on our cross. The death was really, you know, should have been us, but he died in our place. He became the sacrificial lamb who died in our place. And we think about it, and we've seen the different movies, and some people don't even want to watch the crucifixion scene because it's so gross. It might be so gross, but it's so awesome. You know, and they say that any crucifixion scene you've ever seen in a movie isn't as gross as it really was. But nothing is gross when it buys our freedom. And I know that it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch, you know, someone being beaten and bruised and battered. But think about that. He did it for us. Jesus died so that we may live. You know, and of course, every communion Sunday we sing that song, because he lives. We can, you know, well, anyway. Anyway, John 15:13, like you know, we've already read it, right? Said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for friends. That's the very heart of both the gospel and Memorial Day. Love is not just words or emotions. Love is action, and love is sacrifice. You know, they made the ultimate sacrifice to prove that they loved us. You know, when you go into the armed forces, you know that you have sacrificed. You're going to give up everything, maybe including your life, because of your love for this country. And, you know, it really breaks my heart to see so many, especially young people, that dishonor this country, you know, because, I mean, I love my country. You know, there's a lot wrong with America, but we're still the greatest country in the world. And it really bothers me to see people dishonoring our flag and dishonoring, you know, our heroes and doing all this stuff. And, you know, and especially whenever these people are not even from our country. You know, I have an opinion and probably shouldn't share it from the platform. But, you know, if you want to dishonor this country, then leave. I mean, if you think it's so bad, then why are you here? I mean, you know, so what's even crazier is some people have come from their country because it was so bad, came to our country, and they're trying to make our country like their country by disavowing our freedoms. I'm probably one of the most patriotic, non-military person that you'll ever find. In fact, I wear a lot of clothes, you know, that has the American flag on it, different things like that. It was really, really cool. And they probably, on Veterans Day, because some of the places I order online, they sent out a thank you. And they said, we just want to thank you for serving our nation or whatever, because they're assuming that mainly veterans buy the clothing. But at the end of the letter, it says, if you're not a veteran, we want to thank you for supporting veterans. We want to thank you for supporting it. So it was pretty cool. You know, in the letter, because it didn't even, I say letters, in the email, you know, they thanked me when I'm thinking, well, I'm not even a veteran, but they covered that too. You know, I love our country, and we should all love our country, but we should also remember what people have done and died so that we can be free. You know, I think about that every time. You know, many times I have opportunities to pray before the races and things like that. You know, we wouldn't have races if we're not free. We wouldn't have all kinds of things. And so So once again, love is not just words or emotions. Love is action. Love is sacrifice. Our soldiers didn't die for recognition, for medals or glory. You know, no soldier died so they could get a medal or so their family members could get medals. They died for duty, honor, and love of this country. And often for their brothers and sisters that are there beside them. They sacrificed their lives so somebody else could live. I mean, you see sometimes, you know, where, you know, someone dies covering somebody else. You know, we've seen that actually, a situation happened, you know, not in a military battle, but, you know, it was on the news that in the tornado situation that somebody shielded their wife and they end up dying. You know, like I said, there is no greater sacrifice than to lay down your life for your friends. You know, in the same way, Christ didn't die to build a religion or to gain a following. He died for love, for you and me. And once again, he died on the cross that we should be hanging on. You know, we were yet sinners. You say, well, I wasn't even born yet. But you know what? He died so that we could live. Romans 5:7 in the NLT puts it this way. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might be perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed us his great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You know, Jesus Christ died for us when we were sinners. I mean, you know, it wasn't like he died for an upright person. I mean, he died because he loved us. And to think about Jesus, I mean, Jesus, you know, he came from royalty. How would you like it? Let's just put things in perspective. You know, let's think about that you were Jesus, all right? So here you are in heaven enjoying the great things of heaven, and your father tells you, hey, there's a bunch of sinful people there on the earth that need somebody to save them. So will you go and be born, be a human, and then die a terrible death so that they can live? And your thought pattern would, yeah, but there are a bunch of idiots down there. Why would I want to do that? He did it because he loved us. He didn't want to see us go to hell. He didn't want to see us, you know, kill ourselves for no reasons. I mean, you know, the thing about it is Jesus loves us that much. You know, a lot of times whenever you see us saying, Jesus loved us this much that he died on that cross. You know, Memorial Day is not just about the past. It's about also how we live today. We remember to honor the sacrifice of others. We remember the lives, to live lives worthy of the freedoms we've been given. In the Old Testament, God constantly called his people to remember. He told them to set up stones, to keep festivals, to teach their children so they would not forget the works of the Lord. An example over in Joshua chapter 4, after the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, God told Joshua to set up 12 stones as a memorial. And so Joshua 4, 6, and 7 says it this way, we will use these stones to build a memorial in the future. Your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Why? Because forgetting leads to apathy, and apathy leads to loss. So we remember Jesus by living lives of faith, repentance, and obedience as we remember our fallen heroes by living as responsible citizens, protecting their liberty, loving our neighbors, and strengthening our communities. You know, we should live and enjoy life, but you know what? These people gave up their life for us, so why don't we live a good life? Now, obviously, as a Christian, I mean, you know, the goal in life as a Christian is to make more Christians. And you don't make more Christians by griping at everybody around about you. You don't turn people to Christ by being the meanest person in the neighborhood. or the rudest person in the neighborhood, or the one that's always yelling and screaming, or whatever. You know, we should live our life. Our life was given to us, so we should live it like there. But our life was not just given to us, you know, spiritually, also naturally. You know, one of the things that really has bothered me here recently is we want to forget history. I mean, it seems that once again, this, if you want to call them a woke generation, they want us to forget about what went on. They want to pull down statues. They don't want to set up stones. They want to pull them down. I mean, Washington, D.C. is set up. You know, there's plenty of things to remember. You know, and I get it. I mean, you know, some of our history is not good, but we need to remember, you know, what we shouldn't be doing it once again. You know, I mean, just like obviously we're changing our military bases and taking off people's names and this and that and everything else. And, you know, it's really hard. I mean, you know, just because, you know, obviously at some point in time, a lot of people did have slaves. Now, I'm not saying it was right. All right, but that was what everybody did. So they were just being like everybody else. And I know one thing that really, it's very interesting here in Tulsa. Tulsa, for many, many years, we have a street called Brady, and we had the Brady Theater next to it. And so it was named after, I can't remember, you know, some guy named Brady, and they found out he had slaves. So they rechanged the name. They still called it Brady, but named after somebody else named Brady, and they found out he had slaves too. So instead of naming it after Tom Brady, which I would have done, you know, I know Tom Brady has nothing to do with Oklahoma, but, you know, you know, I would have just said, okay, let's name it after Tom Brady because it just makes sense because he's the only other, or we can name it after the Brady Bunch, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, but so they renamed it Reconciliation Way. And what's really bad is they had to rename the Brady Theater, who'd been here for years, to the Tulsa Theater. And I've seen, you know, concerts or whatever that says, hey, it's we're going to be in the Tulsa Theater. I'm like, where's the Tulsa Theater? I've looked it up like three times before because I keep forgetting the Brady Theater doesn't exist anymore. It's not the Tulsa Theater. But anyway, we do take down memories. I know that's kind of a goofy one, but, I mean, you know, there are things. We're trying to forget our history. We should never forget history. When we forget history, we forget sacrifice. When we forget, you know, what people paid. You know, today you can walk through, you know, Memorial Park Cemetery. That they, you know, they have some, you know, it's really, really, really nice, you know, display of flags and things like that. You know, I've had the distinct privilege of walking through Arlington Cemetery and seeing the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and seeing those crosses that are there. And remembering, you know what, there's a lot of crosses there, but there's a lot more people who have paid the ultimate sacrifice than those crosses, you know, and that thing. And you know, it is something that we need to always remember. Galatians 5:13 in the NIV says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. You know, because we're made free and because we have our freedom to worship, we should use that freedom to help others. You know, Brother Bill was talking about today, helping, you know, feed the hungry. You know, unfortunately, but, you know, because the economy, because, you know, we have a lot more people that are going hungry today than ever before. We our homeless population is growing larger and larger by the moment. You know, and we should be there to be a help to our friends. Amen. You know, every sacrifice calls for a response. When Jesus healed the sick and forgave the sinners, many responded with gratitude, with changed lives, with worship, but others walked away unchanged. When we stand before the cross or before the graves of our nation's heroes, we must ask, how will we respond? You know, Paul writes in Philippians 1:27, the NIV, the first part, says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You know, may we also say, conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the freedom that the others died to give you. Let our worship be more than songs. Let it be a sacrificial living. Let our patriotism be more than flags. Let it be a sacrificial service. You know, that's why I say, when I see people today, you know, dishonoring our flag, dishonoring our country, you know, or dishonoring our leaders. I mean, you know, I get it. I mean, you know, I'm not always happy with some of our leaders, but the Bible tells us to pray for those that are in charge of us. Pray for those in authority. You know, just because someone is not necessarily a godly person doesn't mean that God can't get a hold of them. You know, even God at some point in time, you know, it took a while, got a hold of Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. You know, of course, many times you'll hear this said, you know, it said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And obviously, you know, if you read the Old Testament, I mean, I guess we live in a generation that doesn't always read the Bible, so you might not know anything about Pharaoh and different things like that. Maybe you should read the Bible every once in a while. But there were plagues that happened because he wouldn't let Israelites go, but finally he did. You know, but let's live life that's worthy of living. And yeah, it's okay to enjoy a barbecue, to enjoy an auto race, to enjoy life. But at some point in time, let's remember that somebody else sacrificed so that you could enjoy. You know, but then once again, Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. And sometimes the only time we think about Jesus Christ's sacrifice is on Easter, or maybe, obviously, this church does communion once a month, so or communion. Sometimes we don't think about it as we live our daily life. We don't think about it, you know, as we're enjoying, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, maybe you have a chance to do whatever your ultimate vacation might be. I don't know. Everybody has their own ultimate vacation. Mine is not going to Disney World. That's what my vacation I do most of the time, but it's not the ultimate vacation, all right? Maybe for you it might be. I just don't like walking 8 miles, waiting in long lines in the heat of the summer, but kids do, all right? So that's a... You know, but, you know, whatever ultimate vacation, whenever you're doing that, you know, why don't you remember, you know what? There are men and women who died so you can have your ultimate vacation. But once again, Jesus Christ also died so you can have the most ultimate vacation ever. You know, not only here, but also in heaven. I mean, you realize if Jesus wouldn't have ever died, we wouldn't be going to heaven. I mean, I don't know if you ever thought about that, but what if Jesus told God no? Can you send somebody else? How about the Holy Spirit? Send him, let him, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking about that many times, you know. And my question is, you know, did Jesus have a choice? But evidently, you know, obviously on earth, whenever it said he was tempted as a man, he did have a choice, but his choice, you know, when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, Lord, if there is another way, can we go that way? But there was no other way. He had to sacrifice his life so that we can live. You know what? That is the ultimate sacrifice. You understand when men and women are on a battlefield, you know, they might have to sacrifice their life, but they might not. I mean, ultimately, they're fighting not to have to sacrifice their life. Jesus willingly laid his life down. He didn't even fight anybody. You realize, many people don't think about this kind of stuff, but even whenever, you know, they came to get him, his disciples were willing to fight. You know, Peter cut a guy's ear off. Jesus healed that person. And then they still took him in. He willingly gave up his life. Like I said, men and women who die on battlefields, they're not willingly giving up their life. They're not like, you know what, I'm just going to go die so someone can be free. They're trying to fight for freedom. Jesus didn't fight for freedom. He died for freedom. Willingly, so that you and I could have the ultimate vacation. Not just here, but like I said, you know, in heaven. You know, I mean, you know, we wouldn't have a chance to go to heaven. And heaven must be a wonderful place because, you know, you see accounts where people, you know, die and then they come back, you know, because the Lord says, you know, time is not yet. And they're like, I didn't want to come back. I mean, we're talking about people who have kids and grandkids and families and things. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, wanting to be away from, I mean, I want to watch, you know, You know, I want to watch my grandkids grow up. I want to see, you know, what, you know, different things. I can't imagine that something so awesome that would want to take me away from that. You know, but heaven is an awesome place. And thank you, Jesus, for dying so that we could live. You know, there is a strange and holy paradox in both military and spiritual sacrifice. Death brings life. Loss brings hope. Somebody had to die so that we could live. You know, someone had to lose their life so we could have that hope. Jesus, speaking of his coming death in John chapter 12, verse 24, says it this way, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful crop, a harvest of new lives." The seed of Jesus' death has produced millions upon millions of lives saved for eternity. The seeds of soldier sacrifice have yielded generations of liberty. That is our shared legacy, a legacy of freedom rooted in the courage, hope, and love. I mean, think about that. You know, Jesus died, and because he died, millions of people, millions upon millions of people can now live. But just like that, there have been men and women who laid down their life, made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be free, so that we can have our barbecue, so we can sit out by our swimming pool, hopefully if the weather's nice. So we can watch our auto races and we can enjoy our day off. You know, many people think about Memorial Day as a day off, that they don't have to go to work. And they can sit around and enjoy life. Of course, other people are doing yard work, but that's a whole other thing. See, I would say, well, just wait till Labor Day. That's the day you should be doing yard work, because it's Labor Day. Anyway, that's a joke, folks. All right. In conclusion, you know, we should live as the free. Today, let us kneel at two sacred places, at Calvary, where Christ purchased eternal freedom, and at the graves of the fallen, where freedom for our nation was secure. Both remind us that freedom is costly, but both challenge us to live not for ourselves, but for others. And both invite us into a life of gratitude, courage, and purpose. So as you enjoy this weekend with friends and family, remember the cost. Live a life worthy of those who died. And above all, live a life that glorifies the one who gave you eternal life, Jesus Christ. You know, as we enjoy this weekend, and you know what? That's something else. You know, sometimes that we only make it about a weekend. You know, we should remember Jesus, like I said, every day. You know, I often think about my grandfather, and I talked about, I think I said this on Wednesday. You know, he was always thankful. And many times as we're driving in the car, just driving, we're not, you know, we're headed to a meeting, headed to lunch, headed to wherever. I don't know how many times I would hear my grandfather just say, "Thank you, Jesus." I mean, no one's talking to him. He's saying out loud, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Actually, I've adopted that same habit. It's a great habit. You know, there are bad habits to have, and that's a good one to have. You know, we should just thank Jesus at all times, you know, for that. I know we should be thankful. Because, like I said, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, we wouldn't have a road to heaven. You know, I mean, you know, many people think, well, yeah, but he had no choice. Yeah, he did. He had a choice, but he made the right one for you and I. But also, at the same token, sometimes when you're enjoying the freedoms, you know, of a United States of America citizen or a visitor here in our country, where you have freedom to move around, freedom to do whatever you want to, once in a while, let's be thankful for the men and women who died so that we could have freedom. You know, a lot of times we don't think about war because we don't see war. You know, if we lived in Ukraine, we would see war all the time. But is this interesting? The other day on Facebook, I saw a thing in Russia. It was some kind of shindig of a bunch of young people. And you notice one thing. There was a bunch of young women, but there were very few young men in that photo, because you know what? There's been a lot of Russian young men that have died on the soils of Ukraine fighting for what they think that they need to do. You know, like I said, if you are not a veteran, if you don't know someone who's died in battle, you don't even think about it. But people have died in battle so that we could live. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we remember with reverence and gratitude those who laid down their lives for our country. We thank you for their courage, their devotion, and their sacrifice. Most of all, though, Father, we remember your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we might be free forever. Teach us to cherish our freedoms, both earthly and eternal, and help us to live lives that are worthy of the cost. May we honor the fallen by how we live. May we honor you in all that we do. Father God, we just thank you that you'll help us be able to remember what was done so that we could be free. Father, as we enjoy this weekend, help us to remember that we have both a natural and a spiritual freedom bought by blood. And we thank you, Father, for that freedom. We thank you. We want to say thank you for the men and women who have sacrificed their life. But we want to ultimately say thank you to Jesus Christ that became the sacrificial lamb so that we might be free. We thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Is there something you guys want to sing?
Thank you, Jesus. You set me
today. Maybe there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I don't have that spiritual freedom that you have. I'm not on their way to heaven. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I've been in church all my life, but I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. My grandfather talks about having what he calls a no-so experience. Well, this morning you can no-so. Or maybe you're here and you at one time walked with the Lord, but you've turned your back and you went away and you want to rededicate your life to God. If that's you, lift your hand on any invitation. If you're here and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate yourself to God, or you want to have what we call a no-so experience across this auditorium, lift your hand. We want to make sure no one leaves this place without having that spiritual freedom we talked about today. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. And we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will accept your Son, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If you happen to be a first-time visitor, we're happy to have you. The connection team is in the aisle. And, if you'll just follow them, we have a special gift for you. I encourage you and enjoy this weekend. But don't forget, coming back here tonight, 6 p.m. We'll be having service tonight. The pastors are headed to the door to shake your hands. And like I said, at some point in time, we should remember both our natural and spiritual freedom and what somebody did to spill their blood so that we can have that life. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great day. Come alive.